Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Shapine. For this week's episode, I'll go through the Week 4 rankings and provide various thoughts at each position. So starting at quarterback, last week we had Caleb Williams as the overall QB6. That obviously worked out. He had nearly 300 yards and 4 touchdowns through the air. So this week we again have him as a QB6. The Raiders haven't been that bad versus the pass, but still think they have a very attackable cornerback group. So look for a confident Williams to exploit that and have another big game. The option sandwiching him at QB5, we have Bo Nix, and QB7, Justin Fields. For Nix, not the strongest start for him, but a handful of deep connections have just missed. I'm confident those will start to hit. It's not like many inaccurate quarterbacks where they'll throw it deep and it's not even close. For Nix, the misses have been by inches, and Sean Payton has defended him, saying he's been really accurate. Same with J.K. Dobbins, he defended Nix after the latest loss. I think him and his receivers just haven't been quite on the same page, but remember, he started slow last year, and now could be the final buy-low opportunity before he hopefully has a breakout game on Monday night against the Bengals. And for Fields, he needs to clear the concussion protocol, and he had a really shaky performance the last time we saw him. But as mentioned at least a couple of times this year, the Dolphins are one of the more attackable secondaries in the league, but really you're playing Fields because of what he can do as a runner. And the last time he faced the Dolphins, he had 15 carries for 178 yards and a touchdown on the ground in the best rushing performance of his career, and really one of the best for a quarterback of all time. So I'd be banking on the upside for Fields as a QB1. And two more guys I'll get to. First, Marcus Mariota, we have as a QB11, with the expectation, obviously, that he'll make another start. If he does, the Commanders weren't afraid to use Mariota as a runner, and he's someone we believe in strongly as a starting quarterback. So in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, Mariota would be a low-end QB1 if he draws another start. And as a QB15, we have Matthew Stafford, and he could really be a couple of spots higher at least. The Colts losing Kenny Moore in the slot could really leave them vulnerable versus Puka Nacua, and Stafford doesn't bring much of anything as a runner. But having Nacua and Davante Adams for a game that at least has shootout potential versus the Colts should make him a high-end QB2 for Week 4. At running back, I'll start off with the rookies. A couple of options as high-end RB2s with Omarion Hampton as the RB15 and Quinshon Judkins as the RB16. For Hampton, it's a dream matchup versus the Giants. They haven't been any better versus the run than they were a year ago. And now with Najee Harris, unfortunately, done for the year with a torn Achilles, the door is open for Hampton, despite the early struggles, to be a workhorse, so he'll see increases in both the receiving work and have the clear goal line role for one of the league's best offenses. And for Judkins, the matchup is difficult versus Detroit, especially on the road, but he had 18 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown last week against the Packers. He's broken a 30-yard run in both games to begin his career, and the eye tests, he's passing with flying colors. So Judkins is a weekly RB2 and could even have RB1 appeal in great matchups. He doesn't get one this week, but still worth a start. And the Lions have allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back in all 3 games to begin the season. Another rookie set to see a bigger role, and he already did on Sunday night, is Cam Scadaboo. I'll never understand how he lasted until the 4th round. We had him as a number 30 overall prospect, which I believe I mentioned in the first episode this year, compared him to David Montgomery. He clearly has an all-around skill set, can catch the ball out of the backfield, and should see 15 to 20 touches with Tyrone Tracy out. So the Chargers might be a tough matchup this week, but the Giants should try to play through Scadaboo, and he's earned at least weekly flex appeal with a higher floor with Tracy out. And as the RB27, which is probably lower than most will have him this week, but Trey Benson, who is set to be the feature back in Arizona with James Conner done for the season. The issue this week, why we have him more in the flex ranks than the RB2 ranks, is a matchup versus Seattle. It comes at home, so that should help a bit, but the Seahawks have remained stingy versus the run. They've allowed just 3.2 yards per carry, and they're the only team in the league to not allow a rushing touchdown. So you're probably banking on the receiving output for Benson this week. Amari DiMercato will be involved there, so I view him as not a must-start right now, more of a flex, but can still probably count on the volume for him. At wide receiver, in general, it's kind of a weird situation. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't have Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson dealing with quarterback questions, CeeDee Lamb now set to miss time with a high ankle sprain. So doing the rest of season rankings, I had a tough time finding out who should be the top receiver, and we put Amon-Ra St. Brown there, and that's where he lands in our weekly rankings as well. So the question marks for other guys, Malik Nabers is another. He was almost shut out last week, and still a must start. We have him as the overall wide receiver 5. But newer names towards the top, with Puka Nacua, again set to face a Colts team that won't have Kenny Moore as a wide receiver 2, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's been red hot to start the year, as a wide receiver 3. And then filling out that top 5, we have AJ Brown as a wide receiver 4. It seems like the Philly offense got back on track by playing through their star receivers last week, and Brown has indicated, rightly so, that should continue. So beyond the obvious must-starts at wide receiver, We again have Zay Flowers as a wide receiver 13, despite a quiet night against the Lions. We typically have Flowers more in the wide receiver 2 range, but these are the type of games, this time versus Kansas City, where you're banking on the upside for him in a potential shootout, so I'd keep him in the lineup and hope for a bounce back this week. As a wide receiver 18, we have DK Metcalf. The Vikings have been extremely stingy versus wide receivers to begin the season, but the thinking here is that he should get some one-on-one opportunities with the way Minnesota brings pressure. Last week, T. Higgins had a couple of jump balls in the end zone that he couldn't come down with, so we'll see if Metcalf gets those opportunities, and heavier target totals should start to come as he gains chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. Right behind him as a wide receiver 19, we have George Pickens. It's tough to determine his value with CeeDee Lamb out, because on one hand, he'll receive increased attention from opposing defenses, and the Packers might not let him beat them this week. But on the other hand, Dallas will need contributions from someone, and Sunday night profiles as a potential shootout. So the hope would be that Pickens gets enough opportunities from Dak Prescott, including down the field and in scoring territory, to be worth starting as a wide receiver 2. And then someone who might be available, if maybe you have CeeDee Lamb, or just need help at wide receiver in general, would be Romeo Doubs, who's available in quite a few leagues. On Sunday night, he'll face a Dallas defense that, without Deron Bland, has really struggled. A couple of years ago in the playoffs, Doubs had 6 receptions for 151 yards and a touchdown against Dallas. So as Green Bay tries to get the offense back on track, look for him to be a key part of it, and we have him as the wide receiver 33 for week 4. Then at tight end, TJ Hockenson already paid off in the first start with Carson Wentz under center, so you should keep rolling with him. We have him as the overall tight end 6 this week. Behind him as the tight end 7, we have Jake Ferguson. As mentioned, Dallas needs guys to step up with CeeDee Lamb out, and Ferguson already did that last week. He had 13 receptions for 82 yards, and I think he'll get plenty of checkdowns on Sunday night with Prescott trying to avoid Micah Parsons and the Green Bay pass rush. As the tight end 11, we have Isaiah Likely. This is lower than it'll be for the most part the rest of the season, but he could have a snap count in his debut, assuming he does play this week, so that needs to be balanced with the big-time performance last year against Kansas City when he had 9 receptions for 111 yards and a touchdown, and also could have the game-winning touchdown that was just out of bounds in last year's opener, so I think he could be immediately started as a tight end 1. And the final name I'll mention is Mike Gesicki, taking on the Broncos. It's been a very quiet start for him, understandably with Joe Burrow out, but Denver has always been vulnerable versus tight ends, and last year in that Saturday Classic in Week 17, Gesicki caught 10 passes on 12 targets for 86 yards, and the Bengals almost have to be better on offense than they were last week, so hopefully Gesicki can have a big night, and he's a decent bet to find the end zone. So that will conclude this episode. You can find our full rankings and analysis on wolfsports.com, and if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin. This was a Fantasy Consigliere podcast.